10 and verse 10. We'll try to go through it three times here as we witness and ponder the fact that we're offering someone not only the way to eternal life, but an abundant life here. Salvation is not just good to get into heaven, although it is, but it's good to be saved and have the abundant life. So John 10:10. So let's do it three times. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. And that verse is very true with music, what we'll be talking about tonight too. So let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please? Sir?
It never runs dry. And Father, we do thank you for this promise that there is an abundant life with you. Lord, that you desire to walk with us. Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk, what? In the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill, what? The lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And this is so true in music as well. When you put Christian words but the rock beat to music, you have this same battle, verse 17, going on. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It produces conflict in a person. Let me read you something about music here. This is from Music Practice and Theory. It's an answer site for musicians. And it says this, I quote, the basic rock beat is 4-4 timing. So you count 1, 2, 3, 4. And to create the rock rhythm, you have to place the emphasis on the off beats, which is 2 and 4. So it goes like this, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's the rock beat. The right beat would be 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. The rock beat is 1, 2, 3, 4. And it gets that sideways motion going. It goes on to say the beat has a rocking feel because the even accents make it syncopated. So you talk about that some songs are syncopated. It's that off beat, and that is the rock beat. So what I'm trying to show you is that it's not just what I am saying, that the off beats are beats 2 and 4, and that's the rock beat. This is what everyone who knows music admits. From the same site, it says the beats in a meter fall loosely into stronger and weaker categories. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the strongest beat in the measure is the first beat, and it is known as the down beat. In 4-4 time, the third beat is recognized as having the next greatest strength. So we talked about this last time. The major emphasis should be on beat 1, and then beat 3 is a little lighter, but the major beat is on beat 1. The final beat of the measure is known as the upbeat, because that's when, whether it's the band director with his baton is going up, because he's getting ready to come down on the first beat of every measure. So
Notice in hymn number 42. Megan, could I borrow you tonight back at the piano? Number 42. And this is All Hail the Power. And I just wanted to go through this again. So you notice in All Hail the Power, and I wish I had the could put it up on the screen, but I can't. But you notice in All Hail the Power, there's just one note, a quarter note up at the top there. And then there's the vertical line. And so the next four beats make a measure. So between each vertical line is a measure. So the song leader, the band director on this song is going to go up for the first beat. So you'll be coming down on All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. So reading this here, the final beat of the measure is known as the up beat, and then you come down on the first beat of the measure. In rock music, the weak beats, which is 2 and 4, tend to be specially emphasized. This is known as the back beat, and that's normally when the drum is hit on the back beat, the snare drum. The bass drums will be hitting on beat 1. The snare drums will be hitting on 2 and 4. And that's mostly what you hear. This one is from the freedictionary.com. It says the backbeat. It's defining it. A sharp rhythmic accent on the second and fourth beats of a measure in 4-4 time, characteristic of rock music. So I just wanted to give you these things to show you. This is what is defined as rock music. So let's see here. I know some of our song leaders are tied up tonight in other duties, but let's see. I'd ask Ethan, maybe if I could have John and Matthew in just a minute. I have several songs and Andrew too. Let's see. Ethan, could you come up for us and lead in number 42, and let's have you lead, how about verses 1 and 4? And so Ethan is going to emphasize that first beat of the measure, putting him on the spot here. So Megan is going to emphasize the first beat of the measure. And I want you, with your singing, once again, like Wednesday night, I don't want you to yell out, you know, All Hail the Power, but just emphasize that word hail and then Jesus a little more. So you did an excellent job Wednesday night, so let's have Ethan come and do that. Okay, verses 1 and 4. John, if you could come up, let's go to 287. So in a rock beat scenario, you would be emphasizing This is like a river, glorious. You'd be emphasizing and but we want to emphasize like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace. So, you know, we talked about keeping music right. It's just as simple as this, emphasizing the first beat of every measure. So let's have Brother John lead us 287 verses 1 through 3.
That first beat of the measure. We're going to be coming back to sing in just a few minutes, but for right now, let's turn to Genesis 3:1. Genesis 3:1. Now, what is Satan known for? His subtlety, his deceit. And it certainly comes out in music. Genesis 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, now the serpent was more what? Subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Subtle, according to Strong's Concordance, means cunning, usually in a bad sense. Subtle, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, means sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating, deceitful, treacherous. And when Satan came to Eve here through the serpent, he was being just that, subtle. Now, Satan did not come along and say, Eve, I want you to just quit serving God. I want you to just turn right around from God right now and just be a rebel for the rest of your life. What would Eve have done? She probably would have said, get out of here.
But Satan didn't come that way. Satan didn't come along saying, you need to quit serving God. Eve, I want your vote. I want you to worship me. Eve, I want you to follow me. I'm filthy and rotten and vile and sinful, and I want you to follow me the rest of your life. No, she would have rejected that. What he started out is questioning God in verse 1. Yea, hath God said? You know, that's just what all the different Bible translations have done. They put a question mark in everybody's minds. What has God said? Well, this version says this, this version says that. It's Satan's subtlety. You know, it's no wonder that so many young people are drawn away from the Lord in their high school and college years. Because those are the years you're getting more and more to think for yourself. And then you get some serpent teacher or professor to come along and start questioning you and God's. They're being the devil's advocate, questioning creation, questioning God's existence, questioning the biblical record. Let's look at verse 2, Genesis 3, 2. Then a woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye what? Touch it, lest ye die. Well, she added something there. And the serpent said unto the woman, what? Ye shall not surely die. So notice, he first questions God, questions what God said, and now he just comes out and flat out denies it. Ye shall not surely die. And now he's going to come out with the idea, you know what? God is not being fair to you. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, Eve. God is keeping the best back from you. That's why he said, don't eat of this tree. He's withholding the best from you. It's no wonder that so many people are drawn away from God as Satan's deceitful lies. So, that's exactly how Satan has approached the church as well. With this wrong beat that's gotten into the church. Satan did not approach the church as a long-haired hippie walking in, smoking his weed, and his cut-off sleeves tattooed, and all of his body piercings, and his electric guitar strung over his back, and his drum kit being pulled behind him on wheels. That's not how Satan come into the church and say, yeah, man, your music is dead, you know what? I've got some real life to my music. Can I show you? Now, what would the church have said? Oh, sure. Sorry, have we offended you by our music? Why, sure, show us a good time with your music. No, the church would have rejected that. So that's not how Satan got the church where it's at today. He first caused music to slightly change. And it's just what we've been seeing, taking the emphasis off that first beat of the measure. On Christian radio stations, I heard a well-known children's program do this very thing, not only with the piano, but with trumpets. You can do it with any music, emphasizing the wrong beat, beats 2 and 4, getting those young people to rock back and forth. And then in the adult programming, it started off with a soft beat, what people call today gospel. Southern gospel. It started off in that. If you notice, on all those Southern gospel things, they like to start clapping their hands. Well, you just pay attention to what song they're singing. And if you can get a hymn book, look at it. And I'll guarantee you, the notes they're clapping to is 2 and 4. They're clapping the rock beat. And you can just kind of see it in the crowd. They just start going back and forth with it. It's because they're emphasizing the off beats. And once you get accustomed to that beat, music seems flat. Remember we talked this morning about soda pop and there could be a shortage of carbonated water. Well, once you get someone addicted to that rock beat, all their music seems dead and flat to them. Just like soda pop with no fizz. So, once Satan got Christians listening to these Christian radio stations, and I remember in Grand Rapids there was the college had their own Christian radio station. I think they still do, but they got a new president in, and so I wrote to him, and I said, you know, they're playing Christian rock on the college radio station. And he wrote me back a very cold letter saying, there is no Christian rock being played on our radio station, and I have full control of the radio station. And it was so denying the absolute truth. They were definitely emphasizing that second and fourth beat. And, of course, that's what you have. But nonetheless, Christians started listening to that. Actually, they didn't start listening to it. They were listening to those Christian radio stations before. And then that music crept in, that beat crept in. And so once you have Christians listening to that in their cars and in their homes, sooner or later they're going to ask to sing it in the church. Why? Because then they come into the church, and when they're used to that syncopated beat, the music seems dead to them. They say it has no life. And so they want to get life in the church. And so they ask if they can sing this special to a soundtrack. And that's exactly how it started in the 80s. Notice it in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 9. So, someone along the line dared to ask the preacher, hey, can I sing this song to a soundtrack? And sadly, probably many preachers were happy for it because they were listening to the same Christian radio stations and had the same music playing in their car, too. And they probably were just afraid to ask to do it, too. But Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth what? The whole lump. Once you get the beat in, it's tough to ever get it out. The whole lump is leaven. And the drums were soft on those beats in that day. But look at 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. It was just a soft, soft drum beat in those days. You didn't have some wild drummer beating out his snare drum on that second and fourth beat. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what? His devices. What is his devices? He just gradually wears the Christian down. That's his device. And notice in Matthew 26 and verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. The Bible says, watch and pray that ye what? Enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So the flesh here is that second and fourth emphasis on the beat, and the flesh just falls to it. So they had the beat in the speakers through the special music, and as we said last Wednesday night, then finally they just brought the drums right in on the platform, and that's when they finally did that. That's when they said, well, you know, we need a contemporary service and we need a traditional service, and we talked about that. You know, the traditional service is early in the morning, and you end up with two couples that are 86 years old attending that service. And the contemporary service, you know, you might have a few hundred. So, you know, it was like to them, hey, you older folks, why don't you just get with it? Get up to date. And so they just did away with the traditional service. So how did that all start? By emphasizing the wrong beat. Let's go to 453. 453. This is He Keeps Me Singing. Brother Jesse, could I have you lead us on a couple verses on this one? 453. Why don't we do verse 1 and verse 5? Now, I want you to notice, because the next song we sing is going to be a little different. And so I want you to notice, the chorus says, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Now see if it's easy to emphasize beat 1 in the measure or not. So Brother Jesse's going to lead us. He's going to try to emphasize the first beat of the measure. And if you could try to do that too.
Okay. 1 and 5. You can play an intro on these if you want to. Switch hymn books. We're going to go to the sword, the soul-stirring hymn book. And I know there's not a lot of them to go around. If we need more, I think there's a couple more behind the piano. Would anyone like some more? Okay. All right. Compare, you might want to keep your hymn book open to 453 and then go to 194 in the sword hymnal. 194. Okay. Now, remember what we talked about Wednesday night and notes. If you start a measure with a short note, like an eighth note, and then go to a quarter note, it's really tough to emphasize the first beat of the measure. Now, when it comes here to Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, 194, the first verse there says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought." And, you know, so far, like in the first full measure, wonderful, what's the beat of under one? A quarter note. What a wonderful. Okay, so it's a quarter note and then an eighth note. One is a quarter note. Dur is an eighth. Full is an eighth note. Then you go to a quarter note. So that measure starts with a longer note and then a shorter one. And then it says, "What a wonderful change in my life." Life starts a new measure. Life has been wrought. So life is what note? Quarter note. And then what? An eighth note. So you've got the longer note first, so it's easier to put the emphasis. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus. Now you got to change. Since Jesus. Under J-E, what's the note above that? An eighth note. What's under S-U-S? A quarter note. Now you've reversed it. Now you're starting your measure
with a shorter note. This song here is really easy to get syncopation going on. And that's why Southern gospel, you know, really gets into the way this song is written, because it's set up, it makes it hard. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Don't write a song that tempts the flesh in its weakness, and that is what this song does. I love the words to this song, but the problem is it is so difficult to emphasize the right note, because since it's real easy to sing it, since Jesus came into my heart. That's emphasizing beat 2 and 4. And so you get the song swinging. The second line there, I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus. And you've got to get it ingrained in your mind to emphasize that first beat. Or you're going to start emphasizing the second beat throughout the song. It's just so common. The chorus, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. That's the wrong beat. That's the rock beat. That's syncopation. So because this song is so difficult, I'm going to ask Matthew to come and lead this one. And he's going to keep us right. Amen? Okay. So let's sing verses 1 and 5. And you pay attention to Matthew. He's going to lead you in the right way. Okay? All right. It's tough, isn't it? When it's written like that, it's hard to emphasize. And I know you're not as familiar with that song because it's a different hymn book than we normally use. And so that's a little less familiar to you, but it's really tough, isn't it? Then there's another thing. If you look at your song book, another thing that makes it hard is Jesus, the way the word is broken down. It's the first syllable is J-E and then S-U-S. So when you break a word down, the longer part of the word, it's just natural to give it more emphasis. And so you have two things against you, two strikes against you. So compare that to look back in 453 in your red book. You don't have the problem in the chorus here in the red book. He keeps me singing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. So it's just, it's written, so it's easier. So I would encourage you, if God leads you to write hymns, do it. But be careful of that fact. That issue, it just makes that song very difficult to sing right. Very difficult. So the longer note makes it on the first beat, that beat should have a longer note than the second beat, or it's just really tough to sing it right. Let's go to 427. 427. Now, sometimes people say, well, I like lively music. I don't like dead music. Well, I don't think any music in this hymnal is dead. I look at the words. I consider the notes, the way it's written. And, you know, if you're really contemplating the words, you know, some words are very solemn, aren't they? Could you imagine singing "Just As I Am" or "Search Me, O God" to a fast tune? It doesn't fit, does it? It just doesn't fit. So now this song, 427, is a mixture. It's not just all quarter notes. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling. So far, that's a quarter note. Then an eighth note with a dot. When you see a dot after a note, it takes half of the worth of that note. So if it's like a quarter note with a dot, it'd be like holding it out for a quarter note plus an eighth. So whatever the dot comes after, it's taking half of that note, and you're making it that much longer. So it's one and a half the normal beat. So this song here has some variety into it. So let's sing this. Luke and Joe are busy. Brother Steve's busy. Oh, Andrew, I missed you. Let's have Andrew do verse 1 and 4 of "Go Ye Into All the World." So this song has quarter notes, eighth notes, sixteenth notes. Okay, we'll have him do verses 1 and 4.
Far, far away in the darkest dwelling, millions of souls forever will be lost. Who to those thousands of storytelling, looking to be the finding of the
So there's quite a bit of variety in that song. But it's just easier to keep right because those first notes are longer. Let's look at 493, kind of running out of time here, so we're not going to be able to sing all of these. Okay, so you'll notice, "Since the Savior found me." So you've got an eighth note with a dot, and then you've got a sixteenth note. So the longer note is first in the measure, then a shorter note. That makes it easier to put the emphasis on the right one. And so this song has great variety. Eighth notes, sixteenth notes, quarter notes, half notes down further. And yet it's easy to sing right. Let's go to number 500. Number 500. This song has a lot of shorter notes, keeps you moving. But once again, the partial first there, but then go to the first full measure, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Right above trumpet, you have an eighth note with a dot and then a 16th note. So keep the longer notes first and then the shorter notes. Easier to emphasize. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. It just keeps the beat right. If you will keep the emphasis on that first beat, you will never get into contemporary music. It's that simple. Keeping the beat, the emphasis on beat one. 450. Young people, it's up to you. My age is not going to be here forever. It's up to you to remember that. Keep the emphasis on the first beat of the measure, and you will keep contemporary music out of the church. 450. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Look at the variety of notes here. The very first note, eighth note with a dot, then a 16th note. Then an eighth note with a dot. Then a 16th note. So this song moves right along. But you're not tempted to get an offbeat. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought Him from the realms of glory. Just to save a sinful soul like mine. You see, it moves right along, but it's easy, isn't it, to emphasize the right beat. 406. 406. I'm a soldier. Same thing here. Starts out with a quarter note, but the first full measure, soldier, you look above that, it's an eighth note with a dot, then a 16th note. So the longer note first. A soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. He called me to His colors, and for Him I'll live or die. I'll go where'er He bids me, and I'll do His least command. Beneath the banner of the cross, I'll gladly take my stand. See, it's easy to keep the beat right on that song. Okay. Let us go to 270. This song, there's a spot in it that's a little harder. 270. The song is okay, but in the chorus here, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest, that switched it, didn't it? What people sing usually is, the tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Those two spots. You have to work at it, don't you? Because it just naturally, because it's like skipping a stone. It's like when there's a short note and then a longer note, you tiptoe on the first note and then you put your full weight on the next note. And that's what makes it so hard. Let's go to 153. 153. What if it were today? The song is okay, except the chorus, those notes. I won't ask Megan to play it, but it's those two bottom notes. What this chorus is like a waltz. It's a dance music. It's glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory. Are those emphasizing the right beats? No. It's that really what that is a waltz. That whole chorus beat going on as a waltz dance tune. So for musicians, we just need to cross out, white out those notes. You need to add in some different notes, but don't do those. Every time we sing that song, and I think, oh, I should have said something to the musicians. Well, I'm finally saying it, okay? We're looking at beats, and that is the wrong beat going on. You don't want that. That's a waltz tune. That's a dance tune going on there. So the song's okay, except for that written in. And John Peterson did the same thing. I wonder if he copied it in 151. Look at that. In 151, the chorus. Coming again, coming again.
He's got the right. I think he copied. You know, he was born in 1921, and 153, Lila Morris there, she died in 1929. So I think John Peterson just, both the songs are about the Lord's coming,
and it's got that same beat in there. It's emphasizing the wrong beats. Well, we could go on and on, but I hope you're getting it. Listen, to keep the music right, it is as simple as emphasis on the first beat of the measure. What you're going to find is if you look over the song and they're using on that first beat of the measure, if it's a shorter note than the second beat, you're going to find that the congregation is going to emphasize that second beat. Because, as I said, they're going to tiptoe over the first beat because it's short, and they're going to land with their full weight on the second beat. And that's the 2-4 problem. I just want to give you a couple things to close with here before we close. But this is from TrueDiscipleship.com. But this is a testimony of a man. It says, I quote, "In April 1990, a Christian from Zimbabwe, Africa, arrived for his first visit to the United States. He is a native missionary under Awana Association. When he turned on a Christian radio station and listened to the music, he was shocked, and he said, 'I'm very sensitive to the beat and music. Because when I was a boy, I played the drums in our village worship rituals. The beat that I played on the drum was to get the demon spirits into people. When I became a Christian, I rejected this kind of beat because I realized how damaging it was. When I turned on a Christian radio station in the United States, I was shocked. The same beat that I used to play to call up the evil spirits is the music I heard on the Christian radio station." And that's by Stephen Mafusa from Zimbabwe, Africa. Now, isn't that sad? When a person could get saved out of demonism and come to America and find the same satanic beat is in the music. Here's another one. Same website, but a different testimony. He said, "In 1981, I was driving down a jungle road in the Ivory Coast with several African pastors in the car with me. I had recently received a couple of cassette tapes from our denominational headquarters that were intended for our teenage daughter. These were recordings of various Christian rock artists. In listening to the tapes, I was very disturbed in my own spirit that such material was being sent to our missionary children. But not trusting my own reaction alone, and realizing that these pastors with whom I was traveling were very sensitive to the spirit world, both good and evil, I decided to play the tapes for them. The reaction I got was immediate and verbally violent. One of the pastors asked me this question, 'Do you mean to tell us that this kind of music is played in your churches in America?' I answered in the affirmative. His response was filled with disgust and anger as he replied with another question, 'What are you doing allowing your church people in America to call up the evil spirits with their music. And that was shared by Pastor Joe Myers from Tacoma, Washington. Well, you know, as I said, Satan is so deceitful, isn't he? And so he got that music in subtly. And so you are putting Christians in a battle inside. Let's go back to Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. We'll close with this. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, what? Walk in the Spirit. But how can you walk in the Spirit and be playing that demonic music? There was a rock and roller from Australia that received a reward, and he said, I would give God the praise for this, but I can't because it's the devil's music. He admitted it. Why can't Christians admit it? This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, what? Lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Is it any wonder that so many people are drawn away into immorality when that is the type of beat they listen to? So, let's just summarize it. You've got to keep the emphasis on beat number one. Even if you don't know music, you can learn that. And that's, you know, that's the good thing about still having a hymn book. You know, we need new hymn books, and it's not going to be cheap. And so most churches have just gone to putting their music up there. But, you know, when it's just up there, usually the notes are not up there. It's not large enough to read. And so people lose the notes. They lose track of where the beat should be. So I guess it's well worth the money to spend. So you can see. Look at the measure. If you'll do that. If you'll keep the emphasis on beat number one, you'll keep contemporary music out of your life, out of my life, and out of the church. And our children are depending upon us. And you young people, your children will depend upon you to do that simple thing. Well, in closing, let's take our hymn books here. And let's turn to 47. I want my life to glorify the Lord. And have you ever noticed, with all this contemporary music, how much praise goes to man? That's, you know, the contemporary crowd, you know, they've got their microphone and they end their song by this. You know, it's like, see me. You know, it's almost like they're asking for applause, and that's what they get, don't they? But years ago, I saw a clip of the life of George Beverly Shea and how he used to sing hymns and crusades. And you know how he would end his songs? Time after time after time after time. He'd be singing at the pulpit, and he'd end his song like this. That's quite a bit different than ending your song like, see me? What a difference. When you sing music right, what a difference. So let's stand as we sing number 47. Now this song is not written in 4-4, it's written in 3-4, but it's the same thing, emphasizing the first beat of the measure. May we glorify God in our lives, in our music, in all we do. 47.
King of all kings and Lord of all lords, He reigns in glory now. Someday He is coming, His kingdom to claim, and every knee shall bow.
Amen. Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, once again, we just thank you for the day that you've given to us. And Lord, we just thank you that you have preserved your word for us. Lord, that you have promised us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us into all truth. And Lord, that we would have a desire in our heart to share truth with others.